Shias and Alaviyun by passing the Persian Gulf and then going through the Indian Ocean, reached to the eastern parts of China. And they resided in the place which is called Motaghi, as he believes it comes from the root Motaghi.
Dr. Muhammad Sawadat says Hadith al-Thaqalain is very important regarding the translation of the Holy Quran. And he says that this is the most important condition. At the beginning of the translation, this hadith must be quoted.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher. I'm Atta, the host of this program. This program is about the life and works of the most outstanding Shia dignitaries, scholars, philosophers, thinkers, and jurists all across the nation of Islam. Within the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahdavi and Sheikh Ziyaniyah. Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum, brother. Welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Ziyaniyah, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
So today we want to talk about an outstanding figure originally from Japan and the translator of the Holy Quran into the Japanese language. He is no one but Muhammad Qaim Safafumiyu Sabada, mainly known as Muhammad Sabada. He was, as I said, from Japan, the translator of the, we can say, the Holy Quran from Arabic into Japanese. And it is believed that he is the first Shiite translator of the Holy Quran into Japanese language. Okay, let's start with you this time, Sheikh Mahdavi, and give us some information about his early life, Muhammad Sabada.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Muhammad Qaim Sawada, as he introduces himself, is born 1924 in Japan, in the city of Gifu. He was born to a Buddhist family, as he says. And actually, as he narrated his biography, he was really active in terms of science, specifically human sciences. When he finished his studies in high school, he entered the university and he had actually graduated from the university from which most of the outstanding figures of Japan were graduated from. So he was really experiencing the very scholarly environment before he enters or he converted into Shiism. As he says, because of his knowledge that he achieved during his life, he had published some books, yes, before he converts into Shiism, as namely, How Becomes Ruler of Japan, another book, The Way, How to Revive Japan, another book, Inari, another book, Christianity, Democracy. In his biography, he says that in Japan, I can claim that I was the most knowledgeable person being aware of these two religion, if it is true to say Shinto and Buddhism.
Okay.
But out of the meeting or conversation that I had with some certain student of the university, I got interested into Islam. When he realizes that there is a book which is called Quran, he takes the book, he feels that this is what he was looking after in whole of his life. And as he says, when he reaches 50 in his life, he accepts Islam as his true religion.
So at the age of 50, he found his last part of the identity. I mean, his conversion to Islam, is it?
Yes, and okay, this is very important for, yes, someone who is the author of such knowledgeable books, as I mentioned in my, actually in the first of the talk that I had with you. And as he is saying that he really got interested in Islam because, yes, of reading Quran. And after that, he felt that there are some certain denominations within Islam. And he did and continued his inquiry into Islam till he reached to Shiism and appointed Shiism as his true religion, and then decided to translate Quran, as you mentioned, right, as a first Shi'i Japanese person or yes. Japanese translator.
That's all right. Okay, Sheikh Ziaidia.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, I'm not familiar with Japanese language, okay. unfortunately.
Yes.
Okay. But according to the evaluation that are made from this, you know, translation, we may say that because this translation is directly translated from Arabic into Japanese, maybe the previous ones, they have been translated from English into Japanese. So maybe this is a big difference between them. And another point of view that we should have in our mind regarding this translation is that if a follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam translates the Holy Quran with his, you know, glance and, you know, point of view, automatically his translation will have, you know, this scent that the verses that are about the virtues of the commander of faithful, I mean, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. So these, you know, verses are translated in a way that shows the and or manifests the virtues of this great figure.
That's right.
So, and also in different parts of translation, we may find this, you know, differences.
Yes.
So that's why Dr. Muhammad Sawada tries to translate the Holy Quran from Arabic to Japanese. And he says that because of the weak points that I was facing with in the previous translations, I decided to have this okay. translation.
Yes.
And he says that I translated the Holy Quran by myself, but my son helped me in revising and, you know, editing the translation.
Ibrahim Sawada.
Yes.
Yes.
We should say that his son also converted into Islam with his father, and now his son is a clergyman, is a cleric.
Oh.
I mean, a professional teacher in Islamic studies, and he is a prominent scholar and the chief of the World Assembly of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam in Japan.
Yes.
That this assembly was established by his father,
oh.
I mean, Dr. Muhammad Sawada in Japan.
Okay.
So, besides having academic activities,
mm-hmm.
he had some, you know, he had done some favors to the Muslim Society of Japan to, you know, have some, you know, some establishing some organizations to, you know, protect the rights of Muslims or Shias and to introduce them in the Society of Japan.
That's right.
That's why he tries to even have, you know, writing some works regarding Muslim concepts that Sheikh Mahdavi mentioned them. Of course, he had many travels all around the world, okay. especially to Iran. He came to Iran 8 times to have discussions regarding, you know, expert discussions regarding Islamic studies and all the stuff that he have done regarding this.
I think one of his interesting contribution on the Shia history is that he says that some believe that Islam and Shiism, or it's better to say Islam, has reached to the east of Asia like Japan 300 years ago. But he believes that this is not the correct idea.
Oh.
And this is not the correct theory. He believes that immediately after the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam, since Muawiyah and Umayyad dynasty took power in their hand, people, mostly Shias and Alaviyun, they wanted to protect themselves against this cruel dynasty. So they started to get away as far as possible to protect their life, their family. So we see that some of them moved to Khorasan, some others moved to Tabaristan, which are the northern part of the Iran.
That's right.
And some of them from just bypassing the Persian Gulf and then going through the Indian Ocean, reached to the eastern parts of China. And they resided in the place which is called Mataqi, that if you look at the pronunciation of Mutaqi, Arabic term,
yes.
and then come back to Mataqi in Japanese, you see there is a resemblance
yes.
between these two words.
Yes.
We have Mataqi, as he believes it comes from the root Mutaqi. He's saying that if you look at the pronunciation,
uh-huh.
Mataqi, and try to bring it back to that kind of accent that the people had and the way they recorded through the years and years. So it might be something like Muttaqi, but he is really firm in his idea. He's not saying that this is a hypothesis.
Yes.
He is saying that so Islam reached eastern part of China 1300 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the Islam that we experienced here, it was a kind of genuine Islam.
Yes.
It was not something which was far from the origin of Islam, something around 1,000 years ago. So also, he has some more idea to confirm his belief about this history.
He
is believing of the symbols of Panchtane Ale Aba in that area, or the five outstanding personality among the progeny of Prophet
Muhammad.
He himself, Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which we believe in them as a title of Panchtane Ale Aba. So Professor Sawada believes that we had such a thing back in the history, but after some centuries, this idea entered got some effect from Shinto and Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
So far, people are believing these five hills in that specific place. These five hills are standing this concept of Panchtane Ale Aba.
That's right.
So they are saying that if you want to get your prayer accepted and responded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or what they say in Shinto or Buddhism, you can go there and do your prayer. So he has some other stuff to prove his idea right. I think it's good for our listeners to do their inquiry on this.
Right.
And it's a kind of interesting contribution on Shia history about their residing in the eastern part of the Asia.
Really, it's an interesting field of study. I mean, to search about the history of a religion in different parts of the world and how the Islamic teachings has affected the cultural, I mean, the sociocultural rites and rituals of that part. So Muhammad Sawada was the historian of Islam and a researcher on Islamic history in his land too. I mean, in Japan.
Based on his researches.
Okay. That's all right. Sheikh Ziyania, any final remarks?
He was asked in an interview that what's your point regarding translation? What's your suggestion for people if they want to enter this field? I mean, translating the Holy Quran. And he highlights some points, amongst which these are more important, that he says that the person who wants to translate the Holy Quran, he must have the great concept of Almighty God in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then tries to find very exact and correct, words that are standing for the Arabic text. He says that you should translate directly from Arabic. You should be prominent in Arabic language, both in your mother tongue language.
That's right.
And you have to be prominent in writing.
Yes.
And one of the conditions that he says is that, in my opinion, the importance of Hadith al-Thaqalain is very important regarding the translation of the Holy Quran. And he says that this is the most important condition, that at the beginning of the translation, this hadith must be quoted. Why? He says because according to correct ahadith, the Holy Quran is the book that from its beginning was revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the heart of the Holy Prophet. And after the Holy Prophet, Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salatu wasalam, Amin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, was the first person who was familiar and was having knowledge regarding the concepts and meanings and tafsir of this book. So that's why none of the translations without the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam and without having, their ideas involved in the translation are not complete.
That's right.
You should have this concept in our mind regarding the translation of the Holy Quran.
That's right. We're referring to Hadith al-Saghalain.
Yes.
In order to better understand the translation and the content of the Holy Quran.
Yes.
That's right. Muhammad Sawada, a true Shiite from Japan, the first Shiite translator of the Holy Quran into Japanese language, passed away in 2012. and his son, Ibrahim Tatsuichi Sawada, who passed, special courses and advanced courses of Islamic House of Qom, is now the manager of Ahlul Bayt Society in Tokyo. Thank you very much, Sheikh Ziania.
You're most welcome.
And Sheikh Mahdavi.
You're most welcome.
For a nice elaboration regarding Muhammad Sawada. And thank you very much, dear listeners. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page, also a YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. Till another episode and another Muslim dignitary, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.